Welcome to Am I the Bleep?
Welcome to Am I the Bleep, the podcast where two different Jonathans discover who the bleep is and who the bleep isn't. John, how are you today?
Are the options between you and me, and that's it?
No.
Oh, there are more options? Okay, perfect.
No. It's not between you and me. We read posts off Reddit's titular Am I the Asshole?
Okay.
And we decide who the bleep is, who the asshole is. You should know that, though, right?
That's a good idea for a show.
It's a great idea for a show. But you asked me if I had an opener, and I wanted to ask you a very serious question.
Oh, I'm so ready. Are you ready.
But are you hot and ready?
I mean, I am wearing a sweater because it's kind of cold downstairs. But as I am warming up, yeah, I'd say I'm hot and ready.
Would you say that you'd be ready in 15 minutes?
I'd be ready in 5, honestly.
Okay.
I'm at a Little Caesars type of readiness level.
And that's exactly what I need to hear for this next question, because Dr. Jonathan Rom,
yeah,
MPH, whatever other degrees you have, what is your favorite frozen pizza?
Oh, interesting.
Right? How I had a frozen pizza for dinner, and I'm like, I feel like Dr. Jonathan Rom, MPH, and whatever degrees he has,
sure,
has a specific opinion on what his favorite frozen pizza is.
My favorite frozen pizza, and I don't eat a lot of frozen pizza, I won't lie to you, but my favorite frozen pizza is the one from Costco. Honestly, I find that they put a generous amount of all the right toppings. I like the quick cook time, as long as you have an oven that can heat up to 400 degrees in under, you know, half an hour, unlike ours. But that is coming from a place of not being a frozen pizza connoisseur. I'm not in that life. I'm not in that world. I'm a delivery guy from way back, but I'd love to know what's your favorite frozen pizza?
Dr. Oetker.
Oh, really?
No, I've actually been. No, actually, it is definitely Dr. Oetker.
Really? Isn't it? Is it Oetker?
I think it's Oetker.
Oetker? I'm gonna start calling him Oetker. Why? Why is that your favorite pizza? Is it nostalgia?
No, it's not nostalgia. Here's what it is. If you're ordering delivery or you're going to a good pizza shop, I think there's good and bad for each category of pizza, right? Like if you go to a good gourmet pizza shop, you expect a certain kind of pizza.
Okay.
If you go to your Little Caesars type of pizza place, you expect a different kind of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen, Dr. Oetker does the thin crust really, really well, I think. It's always crispy coming out of the oven. Is it the best? For frozen pizza, I think it might just be.
We've stopped doing the video feed, but if you could see Johnny right now, there's actually a man with a weapon in one hand and a Dr. Oetker's pizza box in another, right to the side of Jonathan. That's why he's so heavily plugging this brand.
As it goes. And also, what I think is potentially the most interesting part of Dr. Oetker's brand is
I literally can't wait.
Do you know what university Dr. Oetker went to?
I mean, I assume one in Germany based on the name, but I'm gonna say the university. This isn't in Germany, but I'm gonna say the University of Vienna.
That's definitely not in Germany.
No.
He actually went to the University of Dusseldorf.
Oh, okay. Well, I was right. He became
a doctor of pizza.
What do you think the dissertation on pizza is?
To cheese or not to cheese?
So it's that is the poetry. Question.
It is poetry.
Do you think like the melt temperatures of various cheeses at different atmospheric pressures? Like, is that a good pizza thesis?
I feel like the thesis would be that, you know, for years, people have been doing this frozen pizza, preheating their oven to 450. And Dr. Oetker says, no, 445. And everyone looks and is like, no. We've been doing it at 450 for years. Right?
Yeah.
He's like, no. I've studied this. 445 is better. Is it as good as 440? No, better. Is it better than 450? Also still better.
To be fair, most of the bad advice I've given in my life has been preempted by, I've studied this and I'm a doctor.
That's
so,
true.
Yeah, fair enough. That seems plausible. Hey, do you wanna give more bad advice through our coaching podcast?
That is what we do, after all.
All right. Well, I can read this first post if you don't mind.
I insist that you do.
All right. Well, throw RA 417106 writes, am I the asshole for leaving
Stop. You know what you did wrong?
What?
We have to say if they're the asshole right away first. We have to cast.
No, you write. We can. Oh my God. You forgot the format of the show. We read the title.
Yeah, you did.
No, I just read their name. It just felt like a title. No, we read the title of the post, you goober. Oh my God. You're the asshole here.
Try again. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Well, to honor this the writer of this post, user throw RA 417106 writes, am I the asshole for leaving my in-laws to find their own transportation home?
Definitely the asshole just for that username alone. I'm gonna cast judgment.
I'm going to say not the asshole because there's already too much asshole energy. I want them to counterbalance, but we'll find out.
Let's find out.
My wife, who's 38, and I, who is 41, took her parents for dinner at an Indian restaurant earlier this evening. They don't like driving at night anymore, and their house was only a short detour, so we offered to take them. We arrive at the restaurant, and that's when the fun begins. Ooh, we told them multiple times before making the reservation that it was an Indian restaurant. They proceed to look at the menus and then complain that they don't like the look of anything. I suggest that they get a korma and butter chicken between them. My wife supports the idea and they grumble but agree. The waiter comes to take our order. My wife orders, I order, and then the waiter turns to them. They say nothing and turn to look at my wife. She sighs and then orders for them. The waiter leaves and she whispers to them, demanding to know what just happened. Her father used his outdoor voice to bemoan Muslim terrorists coming into our country. Oh, we don't read these before we read them, so we're right there with you, listener. We're right there with you. I draw in my breath, not wanting to say anything I'd later regret. My wife testily replies that A, India is majority Hindu, and B, not all Muslims are terrorists. Her father dismisses this with, they're all the same, and then goes into how two of his friends died during 9/11 for about the 400th time, and how she should have some respect. The food arrives and it's good. Well, at least that. My wife and I both enjoy it. My in-laws eat it and make a show of complaining, but by the end, both their plates are almost empty. The liars. Now, my wife and I were prepared to pay, but before we can even make the offer, her mother tells us, you invited us, so you should pay. Her father chimes in with, but don't tip more than 10%. We don't want to fund illegals. Yo, I grunt non-committally, and when the receipt comes back, I tip about 25% in part to compensate the staff for having to deal with our table. My mother-in-law tries to hurry us out because she needs to use the bathroom. I tell her to use the restaurant bathroom. She says she doesn't want to use the bathroom that they got the ingredients from. My wife is visibly fuming, but says nothing until we leave the building, at which point she explodes at her parents, cursing them out for being colossal bastards and saying she can't take them anywhere. They fire back at her. She's not deterred, and the argument continues for several minutes until I gently pull on my wife's arm and tell her that we'll just go home without them. We drive home. I notice I have several missed calls, and my wife has angry voicemails about how her parents had to get an Uber, wait for it to arrive, and her mom had to go at the back of the restaurant because she couldn't hold on, and how they want us to pay them the Uber fare plus tip. Am I the asshole? Well, that was a journey that we all just went on, and now I have to know. I must know. Jonathan Friedman, are they the asshole?
That was pretty good. There's a lot of assholes in this story. I'm not sure if OP is one, other than for making that stupid ass username. Like, it's too much. Korma's a bitch. That's all I got to say.
Terrible.
Sorry, I've been sitting on that one for minutes. I'm sorry.
Jail.
Undercook, overcook. I think when there's sometimes you have conflict and there's a moment where you're about to blow and saying, I'm going to, in some way, shape, or form, you or your partner saying, hey, we're going to go take a break and do this instead. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. This post, this story could have gone with that wife totally like losing her shit in the front of a restaurant, things getting thrown, could have gone a lot of different ways. Instead, they said, we're driving home without you. You said a bunch of racist stuff. We don't support it. You know, let's go home. I do think they could have communicated that better. I think they could have said, hey, like, we're done with this conversation. We're getting in the car. We're driving home. You find your own way home. We're done with this conversation. They didn't do that. So maybe it's kind of like a kind of the asshole thing. But I don't like this is there's a lot in this post that's just kind of deeply racist. So part of me has to check my own story at the door and say, like, let's specifically focus on the communication that happened and is leaving your parents at the restaurant. You know, people don't live in a vacuum. We don't know what happened with them. Maybe, you know, they're losing their memory or losing their filter a bit and are a bit elderly and are just going off. It's okay to take the break, but leaving people, you know, behind is also not okay. So I'm going to say kind of the asshole just for that. But I think as a partner, stepping in and saying, hey, wife, I see that things are about to take a turn for the worse. Let's go home is a perfectly fine thing to do. And I think as a partner, you absolutely crushed it. No questions asked. But geez, this story was, I was literally on the edge of my seat. And here, like, here we are talking about Dr. Oetker. And then I don't Yeah, I just don't want to sit at a table with these grandparents. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think? What do you think? Yikes, yikes. Indeed.
You know, if we boil down the story, is if people are being the absolute worst people, is it okay to leave them without a ride, even though you were their ride? Assuming they have money and like can afford an Uber, then no. I don't think that you're an asshole for doing this if they're being racist, bigotrist, that's not a word. But if they're engaging in bigotry and they're yelling at you for some reason, getting into a fight with you or your wife, I just don't think that they're being good people here. And the context, although could make this more sense to us, it's not necessarily make this make more sense to us. This could be something where we have to admit it's mortifying. It's mortifying to be around people who are racist at a restaurant that might have food that they would consider ethnic. I am confused why you took them to any place, let alone a place where they would consider the food to be ethnic. But I don't begrudge you for trying. I just think that there's a lesson learned here, a takeaway. If you don't want to have
take these out, types if you will.
Of nights, a takeout, if you will, a delicious chicken korma to address. Yeah, I don't think you're the asshole here, but I think mistakes were definitely made. And obviously, I think that we have listeners who are dealing with bigotry in their own families, in their own lives. And we don't tolerate intolerance, not just because it's on a moral ground, but also just because there's no end to intolerance if you tolerate it. But how do you deal with someone in your own family who's being this way? Like, it's an interesting conundrum. Like, they don't stop being your parents unless you completely like excommunicate them from your life. And we're not suggesting that, but like, that really is how you deal with this if you're related to the person, right?
I think when I was younger, not that my parents are anywhere near like this, only sometimes, but there's this emotional charge that we all have when dealing with our families. Like, let's say, and I'm not saying you're at all like this, but let's say we were having a conversation and you said something that I didn't agree with. say, hey, man, like you said this, I just don't agree with it because of A, B, and C. And it actually bothers me that you went there. Here's why I'm bothered. And we would have that kind of conversation.
But because second, we have that kind of relationship where we could talk about it too.
Absolutely. But for some reason in our lives, when our parents say something, especially something that's totally the opposite way, there's something that happens within us that's like, I am angry, mom and dad. And we approach it that way. We go, you know, Super Saiyan and do the thing. Where, like, here, if we look at that, you know, fifth paragraph or whatever, I can't count anymore. But, you know, it's immediately like a fuming conversation and colossal bastards.
Sure.
It could be that there's an ignorance thing here. I'm not supporting that the racism was okay. I think it's awful. But if it was a friend who did this, I'm wondering if that wife would be like, hey, you know, you said some pretty racist shit back at the restaurant. And it was kind of embarrassing. And I was kind of hurt by your feelings there. Can we talk about that? I'm wondering if it would have had less of an emotional charge.
It's a good question. You know, I think kids, when dealing with their parents, especially in this context, kids have the adult child of that parent might have the thought, wow, not only are you doing something that sucks because I am your child, this reflects poorly on me as a person. Because you both partially represent me, and also I am, you know, from you. So maybe deep down, I also have some of this in me.
Interesting. And yeah,
I think that scares a lot of people to confront their own, you know, bigoted thoughts and bigoted feelings, and also to worry that they inherit it versus it being a choice that they make. I think you can put in a lot of work to be a less racist person and then have things that you were conditioned with growing up really kind of surprise you and blindside you that, oh, wow, I believe this. And I'm saying these things because I think it's normal, but it's not.
So I think like the take out of this one is absolutely, you know, they dealt with the situation, I feel, in the best way they could. I'm not saying I could have done any better. I think they did actually a very good job. But when we're having conversations, if there's something bubbling in you that you feel like that emotional charge is happening, either during or after, take some time, journal about it, reflect on it, and say, like, what was really happening there? Am I afraid of becoming my racist parents?
Yeah.
Was something said that just, you know, really irked me? And if you subbed out your parents for somebody else, how would you have had that conversation? Because I think at the end of the day, we all desire to have good relationships with people in our lives. But, you know, obviously with close family, sometimes you have a lot more history, you've grown up, you've literally come from them. And sometimes these kind of charges arise.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know what else is arising? Don't answer that. It's the next post.
Gross. Disgusting.
I'm sorry. I'm going to read it though. Don't cut me off like I did to you though.
Yeah. Why would I ever do that?
All right. So this one's by Sister Mary. Am I the asshole? It's in the name. That's how good it is. Am I the asshole for agreeing with my mom and telling my sister that she should care more about her physical attributes if she wants to consider her in a professional setting?
Yep. I'm going to say a hard yes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to jump in. We don't need to go any deeper. We're just judging people now. All right. My sister, Mary, is very smart and doing really well in law school academically, but she does not have good personal hygiene habits at all. She knows to keep good hygiene, but just doesn't. She'll usually go 3, but sometimes even 5 or 7 days without showering, including when she's on her period. We live in a really warm area and it smells really bad, like so bad that sometimes it's hard to be in a small room with her. Mom tells Mary that she should be showering every day, but Mary just says she's too tired and she doesn't feel like showering anyways. Mom got Mary a Perry bottle to help her stay clean down there, but I doubt Mary actually uses it. Mary hasn't been taking care of her hair either. She's dyed it a couple times, but hasn't been doing the upkeep she's supposed to do, so it's really frizzy and the colors are kind of getting mashed together, if that makes sense. She doesn't brush it either, so it's getting really tangled. I'm going to be honest, it looks really bad, and she looks very unkempt in general. According to Mary, almost all of her classmates have jobs or other law internships, but she's struggling to find work. She has a great resume and will get an interview very easily, but she never makes it beyond the in-person interview. Mom's told her gently that Mary needs to work on her personal hygiene and appearance with her hair, but Mary really hasn't listened at all. Then a few weeks ago, a firm came to Mary's school offering internships. Some classmates, she says, are much less competent than her got internships, but she didn't. That's when Mom stopped sugarcoating it and told Mary that she needs to fix her hair and start showering daily because she is never going to get hired by a law firm if she keeps looking unkempt the way she does now. Mom and Mary got into a big argument over it. It got pretty heated and they both said some things that were out of line. Mary came to me to tell me that she thinks her mom is shallow and only cares about appearances. I agreed with Mary that Mom did go pretty far in the argument, but that she isn't being shallow. She's giving you professional advice. Law is a profession where you are judged based on your physical attributes like appearance and smell. If you seem like you don't take care of yourself, a client is going to assume you don't take care of their case and will pick something else. It doesn't matter how competent you actually are, that's just how it works. Mary got pissed off at me and accused me of trying to suck up to Mom. Mary still is being super sure with me and Mom and giving one-word answers to everything. I think Mary should realize that we're trying to help her. She's already missed out on a lot of opportunities and will keep missing out on more if she doesn't start taking care more about her physical attributes. Mom honestly should have stopped sugarcoating it a while ago. Am I the asshole? This is a good one, but you go first.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to say you are... You're not the asshole. I don't think you were the most effective you could have been, evidently. I don't think you're coming from a bad place, though, and I don't think what you said is coming from a bad place. You know, I've been as I was listening, I was thinking to myself, okay, we can go based on two assumptions. One assumption is they're right. If they're right, then what does this look like? What is our coaching advice? We can go based on another assumption. They're wrong. This isn't why she's not getting jobs. They've just, you know, conflated something that they're concerned about with what a different problem is. So I guess if they're right, I guess either way, they're not the asshole, but I guess the way to go about it is to say, your goal is to get these internships and jobs. We have the same goal. I want to know, as much as you do, Mary, why are you not getting these jobs? I think there are ways for us to find out. We could ask questions, obviously. If you didn't get an internship, be like, what could you do better for next time? Where is there room to improve? You know, you're really eager to work with them in the future and you don't want to mess this opportunity. But there's also experiments. Maybe the thing that came to our mind of why you're not getting this is right. If you change it and things start to change for you, we'll find out through the experiment. If you don't want to do that, then we have to start asking questions. Either way, our main priority is for you to get what you want. That's it. That's why we're talking to you about this. We're not trying to put you out. We're not trying to call you ugly. We're just saying that our guess is that it's this. Let's find out together. That strategy might have been more effective because there's no argument to be made that you're being shallow there. You're saying, we want to figure out how you can get the job. That's what we care about. We think it might be through this. If all you care about is that she starts showering and you don't care if she gets the job, then I'm afraid you're going to find that people have the right to do whatever the fuck they want, especially someone who's old enough to be in law school. I think that's a challenge for a lot of people to say, wow, they're not living their life the way I would. But that is the truth. People are allowed to do what they want. The underbelly of this also is that one could be depressed if they are going this long without showering. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't go there because a lot of the things in the story don't point to that. They just seem like someone who doesn't really care to shower a lot. I've met a lot of people like that in my life. They're not depressed. They just don't like showering. They do it as infrequently as they think they can get away with. But that's where I am. Like, that's where I think you could be with us. But I don't know. I'm actually really, I'm quite interested to hear what you have to say, Jonathan. What's your take on this?
So wait, are they the asshole or not the asshole?
No, I don't think they're the asshole. I think they're mistaken on this being the way to approach it. I think their mom is very off base by yelling. I don't think you should yell at your kid or like argue with them or, put them down. I feel like you should be like, "Hey, I'm only talking to you about this because I care. And because I care about it, these are the ideas I have. What do you think?"
Yeah, I think you brought up a lot of really great points. I agree. I think these situations are very tricky because they're very personal. It's when you're dealing with behavioral things generally, some like you can look at them as just behavior, but the second it's like about hygiene or the way you look or things like that, it immediately turns into, again, a very charged subject. And whether there's a case of depression, whether there's some other pieces going on, it's really tough to say based on this story. We'd want to learn more about the context. But there is no situation where this situation gets better without family showing care. It's okay to say and speak your mind and say, hey, like, hey, can I brush your hair with you or something like that to take care of them? But really, showing care yourself is how it seems like this person may start to take good care of themselves. And you can't, sorry, let me take a step back. What I'm trying to say is if you're coming from a place where the person you're trying to work with doesn't understand you care for them, trying to share that they should take care of themselves is never going to work. But if you show care and then you have that conversation, not from a place of arguing, not from a place of like, because from Mary's perspective, it might seem like mom and OP are kind of ganging up. If you're just showing that you care and like to go having the conversation from there, I think you can get a lot more done. That said, this is a really tricky situation. And again, I don't really blame anybody for going the places they went. I don't think anybody, I think mom could have done a better job. But it is what it is. Not everyone has the skills.
And I think the crux of our kind of coaching here would be the truth here is actually working for you. You're trying to do a nice thing. Like even if Mary doesn't see it that way, the reason you're bothering at all, the reason why you would have such a, kind of objectively uncomfortable conversation with someone who doesn't want to hear it is because you care about her. You want Mary to succeed. That is a huge, boon. And if that's the thing you communicate, the things that flow from it would come, "Hey, I know you care and I know you're just trying to help, but this is a wrong thing for you to do," versus, "Wow, you guys are just being assholes to me." It's a different thing. And I think sometimes you have to kind of adjust for people to like be sensitive about these things and to wanna come from a place of you caring versus you trying to criticize.
For sure. One last thing I want to add is that let's say you're a new parent or you're an older sibling of somebody who's starting to grow up and you start to notice things like as they're growing up, that's the perfect time to offer trade-ups. By the time somebody's an adult, they're pretty set in their ways and their routines because they have 20, 30 years of evidence that says I can be okay by doing what I've been doing. Whereas if you build it in when people are younger, you're going to have a lot more success. Obviously, in this situation, it's a sensitive topic as older people have the conversation from a place of being on the same page and of care. But if they're younger and it's just like a new habit that's starting to happen, it's a great time to have a conversation like that too, I think.
You know what else it's a perfect time to trade up to?
The next post, like right now.
Actually, more stars on the ratings that you give our podcast.
Oh,
Our pack
interesting.
our little podcast that can and could relies on your reviews and views and star ratings and all the things that you do to show your support. Tell a friend, tell two friends, tell them to tell two more friends. And I'm not good at math, but I'm pretty sure you got at least like four people there, if not eight. And that's like, It's like a 20% increase in our listenership. No, that's a joke. But it would be a lovely thing that you could do to tell let people know that we're doing this little show and trying to coach and help anonymous strangers that don't listen to us.
That the
That's
end
the
of
end
your
of the
pitch?
pitch.
Yeah,
That was my
that's pretty
trade
good.
up.
That's
Do you
pretty
want to
good.
trade up? Do you want to trade up my pitch for a better pitch?
No, I feel like the past six episodes, I'm like, give us 9 stars. So I thought this was a good change of pace.
So I've traded up for being
Yeah,
sincere.
you are the better Jonathan. I am the weakest link.
Should I add just like a little bit of insincerity?
Do it right now.
We'll send you what can I say that won't get us in trouble? We'll send you a single playing card with our names, so Jonathan and Jonathan written on it, and that'll be your thank you bonus for doing the one thing we want you to do, which is to listen and tell people. And, okay, that's three things. And rate our show. Three things. Do those three things, and you'll get a playing card with our names. Is that a good perk?
I have a picture of one of our friends who took a close-up of his face.
Sure.
We probably both know which friend this is, but
Oh, yeah.
I'll double check. But if you give us at least a 5-star review, I will personally autograph the picture of his face and send it to you anywhere in the
That's
world.
easily worth a dollar,
At least, minimum.
at least.
You want to read the next post?
Sure. I guess it's my duty. Both add 291 user both add 291 writes, "Am I the asshole for telling my future sister-in-law to go back to the trailer park you came from?" Oof. Okay. What do you think?
Probably. Yeah, I think so. I'm
Probably.
gonna cast the judgment severely.
I'm going to say that someone has to be pretty bold to post this and not just get hell rained on them. I'm going to say sort of the asshole, because I'm going to assume there's some little element here that the title didn't give away that would make
Like
it.
that they're actually from a trailer park, and like it would be better if they went back to the trailer park where they came from. It just
Yeah,
makes more
or
sense.
exactly, or they had left the trailer park during right before this conversation, and they told their sister-in-law to go back to the trailer park you came from to please go grab my phone. I forgot it in the trailer.
We have to assume positive intent.
Yeah, let's assume positive intent. Okay. My 32-year-old. Oh, the poster is 32 years old and a lady. My little brother, Owen, who's 28, and his fiance, Ellie, who's 25, are not speaking to me and are on the verge of uninviting me to their upcoming wedding from their upcoming wedding in August. This happened all the way back in December, but Ellie still holds a grudge and has brainwashed Owen from talking to me and other members of our family. He's become super distant since their relationship began too. It was about 9:30 p.m. on Christmas. Oh, like every good story. My nephews were crying and rambunctious. My mom was getting flustered with the endless cooking. People were getting drunk and being loud. And my husband was extremely intoxicated and getting on my last nerve with his attitude, and jealousy, I guess.
Jealousy, yeah.
I just was at my wit's end. Ellie comes over to our table with a plate of dessert in her hands, obviously seeing that I'm flustered. Doesn't ask me, "Hey, Natalie, I can see you're stressed. Do you need anything?" As all she did the whole day was cook an appetizer, set a few plates, and take care of my brother who drank too much. Meanwhile, I was cooking, cleaning, and setting up with my mom since the morning. My brother's always late, and she doesn't encourage him to speed up or anything. She eats the dessert that I spent so much time cooking, doesn't say, "Nat, these pastries are amazing." So I said, "Hey, must be easy being a guest 3 years into knowing our family." Immediately, my brother comes in drunk, trying to tell me off, and I explained why I was upset at her for just being unhelpful. Ellie rudely said, "What are you talking about? I can't enjoy a holiday." Then I told her, "You can enjoy it, but at least act like a member." She walked away from me, and I just snapped and said, "You know what? I bet this was a lot better than holidays with your family from what Owen told me. You should just go back to the trailer park next year, and you can lay around whenever." She does not actually live in a trailer, huh? If she did, I feel like that would be rude. That's awesome. Okay, I just said that because I had a rough night and she rubbed me the wrong way. I implied that she was trashy just because of her upbringing. She has spent every holiday with us as her family is a complete mess and she hasn't spoke to them in years. She is like the third generation to grow up without a father. The woman who raised her is living off social security and poverty in old age and just a lot more. I must have hit a sore spot, you think? My brother had a long conversation with me the next day. I haven't really spoken to them. I try to apologize, but I just don't know what else I can do to make this right. Okay, interesting. Am I the asshole? Interesting, interesting, interesting.
You're allowed to talk about what you need. So if you're at a family gathering and somebody's not pulling their weight, like literally, you can say, "Hey, I'm getting a little frustrated because everybody's been cooking. I feel like you haven't contributed. Do you mind joining in?" Or you could literally say, "Here's a dish to take to the dishwasher. Do you mind?" Whatever the case might be. We say on the show all the time, we don't live in vacuums, and saying something like literally what you said, go back to the trailer park where you came from. She comes from a very rough upbringing. Like it might have not been, the most exact thing to say, but it's a very harsh thing to say, and it was obviously very triggering and very upsetting for everyone involved. We can't go there. It's not like the way to go, especially at a family party. Now, that's not to say that you're not allowed to be upset. It's not to say you're not allowed to ask for help. But nowhere in this story is there an escalation. Like like, hey, I cook dessert. Do you mind putting these dishes away? Do you mind doing this? Oh, you must be struggling to look for how you can help. Here's what you can do. And even say that a bit passive aggressively if you need to. But this went from zero to a million. I definitely think you're the asshole. But again, as we say on the show, we've all been assholes. There's m moments where we all do things where we're shitty people and we reflect on it and we're like, man, I could have done much better at that. Take a moment, check yourself, and go back to your brother's partner and say, "Hey, I was pretty upset at you for doing this, but that doesn't excuse what I said or how I said it. We're family. I want to be family. Let's, get back on the same page." That's how I would approach it from here. Next time, like as things are starting to escalate, if you need to take a break, go take a break. If you want to offer a trade up for I think it was Ellie, go for it. Say, "Hey, I see that we're not doing much. Do you mind going to do this thing?" John, what do you think?
Yeah, you're totally the asshole. Wow, that sucks that you did that. But also, that's not the interesting part of this post. I think the interesting part, and something that you don't always get is to see through the lens of person who act like a total jerk, how they justify it to themselves. Because we're always talking about how like you need to get the story, you need to understand as a coach where this person is coming from so that you can coach them effectively. I think this is a great example of that. There's so many things to pick apart in this story, how you only decided to yell at Ellie, even though everyone else, the men in the family were either late or drunk. They seem to have not been helping either. You decided to bring up an insult that A wasn't even true, and B, I feel like you decided to take it out on this poor girl in one of the most like deeply personal ways possible, and that you have someone who is effectively a guest in your home. And you did, I think, one of the worst things you can do as a person who's hosting, or at the very least, a family that's hosting, is to insult a guest. I feel like, being a guest is a vulnerable position. You're trusting that the people who you're staying with are going to take care of you. And here you are just totally biting this girl's head off. Now, I don't, obviously, there's more to the story because this just seems like way too quick of an escalation to have no history whatsoever. But regardless, this is a great opportunity for you. And these opportunities don't always present themselves, but here's a great opportunity. You are eating shit for what you did. You need to recognize when you're eating shit that bad. How badly did I fuck up? Why did I fuck up in this way? And What can I actually do to make amends? You end the post, OP, with I just don't know what else I can do to make this right. Great news. You have so many options in front of you because you've done almost nothing. And so you have like the world's your oyster. You can apologize in the most meaningful ways possible. You can grow, you can change, and you can say, hey, I realized why I fucked up so bad. Here are the reasons. And to make it up to you, I genuinely want to show you that I'm going to put in the work to make you feel part of this family. And I want you to know that I want you to consider me a sister-in-law. And so I want to work to build that relationship with you and not be this way. I am so sorry for what I did. That would be a great start. But you have to want it. You have to want it, and you have to stop trying to justify why you acted like a total, total monster to this person. Real monsters is all I can say, because this is what this post is.
Use the correct terminology, though. Yeah, the asshole.
Real assholes.
So, listeners, you've been sitting around for like 40 minutes, and you're like, hey, you know, like, at least one of the Johns is sometimes right. The other one, not so much. Leave a comment. Send us an email. Do we even have an email anymore? I don't know. Jonathan3.Friedman@gmail.com.
Yeah, send it directly to me. You know, for
that
all
way,
I know,
that way, if you're hating on me.
Don't tell me shit. You don't tell me shit. I don't know anything about no emails.
That way, if you're hating on John, I can send him that. But if you're hating on me, we can just ignore it.
Exactly. It'll be perfect. Straight to spam.
Straight to spam. If you're listening, you agree, you disagree, feel free. Check us out on Instagram, on TikTok. We're everywhere. And give us 9 stars. That's what you have to do. We're going to send you an autographed picture of our friend's face with his permission, of course. And John, do you want to take us home?
I'm going to take you right home. You know, I'm not going to be around the bush. I'm not going to give you a long explanation of what I'm doing here. I'm leaving you with wisdom, and I hope you take it and put it into your heart. And this week's wisdom is: knowledge cuts up the world. Assholes make it whole.
Whoa, welcome to Am I the Bleep?